My name is Tim Mack. I'm at NPR. I'm the Washington investigative correspondent. And I'm the author of a new book called Misfire, Inside the Downfall of the NRA.
So for our listeners here at WTOP who are often stuck on 66 for that daily commute, they've likely driven past that tall building with the large National Rifle Association sign and wondered what goes on in there. And it turns out, Tim, you had the very same question. You were fascinated by what a black box the NRA is. So how much clearer are things for you now? What can you tell us about this organization?
Well, what's been true is that, like you say, the NRA has been a black box for a long, long time. And there hasn't been a lot of reporting on the personalities and the issues and conflicts behind the scenes. What Misfire, my book about the NRA, does is it pulls back the curtain and introduces you to who's been running the NRA, what's been happening there as it's begun a decline, a very dramatic one in which its very existence is under threat.
The group's CEO, Wayne LaPierre, and his wife, Susan, have been the public faces of the NRA, I think you can say. And then, of course, the money scandals that followed them. There was a time, I thought, when LaPierre did not look that anxious in his TV appearances, maybe in the 90s and 2000s. But you describe a very different picture of this man.
The portrait that I have made of Wayne LaPierre and Susan LaPierre is the product of more than 120 interviews with folks inside of the NRA universe, and as well as thousands of pages of secret court depositions, as well as internal NRA emails and private documents. And what they all combine to do is create this portrait of Wayne LaPierre, a very anxious, kind of weak-willed person who those close to him might even describe as cowardly. The NRA book opens with a scene at Wayne LaPierre's wedding, actually, his wedding to Susan in the late 90s. And he doesn't show up. He doesn't want to get married that day. His best man looks at him and says, you know, I don't think you should get married either. Puts a $100 bill on the dashboard and says, well, you know, we can drive out of here. But Wayne LaPierre decides to go in and talk with the priest and Susan LaPierre, and is ultimately convinced, almost harangued into the ceremony. And that leads to a very weird and awkward wedding ceremony where he doesn't even make eye contact with his bride-to-be. And why do I tell that anecdote? It tells you something about Wayne LaPierre as a person and why the NRA faces so much legal and financial trouble right now. That people, powerful people inside the NRA, have realized that if you berate Wayne LaPierre long enough and hard enough, he'll eventually assent to what you're asking for. And that can mean millions of dollars in sweetheart deals for contractors, as well as golden parachutes in the millions as well for folks who are senior level officials at the NRA and have left and get paid for doing almost nothing.
What about the other side of it, the LaPierre couple and the lavish spending? On one hand, you describe the spineless man that can be molded and manipulated at the will of the powerful people in the organization. But then did he have incredibly expensive tastes and use those subscription dollars that the members would send in?
Well, you know, if you talk to people who've known Wayne LaPierre for 30, 40 years, you get a picture of a person who you can imagine didn't really care that much about expensive suits or lavish meals or anything like that. He was known as Mr. Rumpled Suit in the 80s when he was a lobbyist on Capitol Hill. Things change after he gets married to Susan LaPierre. And the problem with the NRA now is that you have all these reports, insider reports, whistleblower reports of misconduct and misspending inside the organization. We're talking about millions and millions of dollars for private jets, exotic vacations to the Bahamas, yachts. We're talking about things like six figures in Italian menswear for Wayne LaPierre. These are all combining to be a real problem for the NRA, especially when it comes to faith from its own membership.
As you peeled back the layers of this onion, is it accurate to call the NRA little more than a scam, or was it something that for people who believe in gun ownership, who have certain conservative ideals, it did good things for them?
Well, you know, I spoke to so many people, like I said, for this book, Misfire. There's a reason why a lot of people who have been very tight-lipped about the history of the NRA and what's happened behind the scenes, why those folks have decided to speak up and talk to me, to an investigative reporter. And one of the reasons is that they're deeply troubled by the National Rifle Association's trajectory and Wayne LaPierre's leadership. They're deeply troubled by all these allegations and plenty of evidence of this misconduct and what a lot of folks would call corruption.
What happened to the NRA in the Obama administration years versus the Trump era?
Well, you know, the Obama era was a time of plenty for the NRA. They were able to make a lot of money fundraising off of the fear from some of their members that the Obama administration would want to limit their gun rights. And so fundraising was good and membership levels were going up. This leads to the NRA's kind of apex, which is the election of Donald Trump. They spend more on the 2016 election than even the Trump super PAC does, more than $30 million. But ironically, that is actually the start of the decline for the NRA, that after the election of Donald Trump, fundraising plummets, membership declines, because their membership is a little less concerned about what might happen under a Trump presidency. All of this financial trouble leads to a squeeze in the organization. And then insider reports of misconduct begin to bubble to the surface.
Where are we now? Some people may remember that it filed for bankruptcy at the start of the year. You have the D.C. and New York attorneys general suing the organization. Is it doing any of the business it used to do, or is it just kind of treading water at the moment, or maybe something worse than that?
You're right to say that it's under a lot of serious scrutiny. The New York attorney general, after an investigation of the National Rifle Association, filed in court an attempt to dissolve the NRA entirely. Now, the NRA was originally founded in New York State, and the New York Attorney General has jurisdiction over it. And so the New York Attorney General has concluded that the NRA has been involved in the misallocation of more than $60 million worth of funds, worth of its members' money, over a period of just a few short years, and is arguing in a court that the NRA is so corrupt from top to bottom that it needs to be dissolved. And whether a judge will agree to this and the course of that litigation will be really interesting to follow and has a lot of impacts on what the future is for gun politics in America.
Could we talk about the NRA's response to the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting in Connecticut in 2012 that a lot of people thought might prompt some gun control because the victims were these very young children, the very definition of innocent people? It was a hugely traumatic event for the country.
I think that's right. And I think that the book takes you behind the scenes to take a look at what was the reaction inside NRA HQ. What was the reaction of people inside the building after that event? The thing is that after Sandy Hook and after the failure of the Manchin-Toomey gun legislation, which was introduced but ultimately did not pass in the Senate, the NRA does double down on focusing only on conservative and Republican members and kind of taking part in the conservative culture war as a means to fundraise and increase their membership. That's been a real change. After Columbine, the NRA's position was, according to Wayne LaPierre, that there should be, with very few exceptions, very few guns in schools. After Sandy Hook, the NRA's strategic message is that there should be more armed guards in schools. It's a big change over a period of time. And over the last few decades, Wayne LaPierre and senior NRA officials have had a lot of impact over the direction of the NRA and gun politics in this country.
I was just curious as to what you thought the NRA was when you started this 4 years ago and what you realize it is now. A lot of us thought it was this super organized place where they would have, you know, strategic teams anytime there was a school shooting and get their messaging together and all of that. It seems to me you found a much more hapless situation as you dug into this.
I started writing this book with this idea that it was this very powerful, ruthless, an effective, efficient organization. And while it does have a lot of power, what I saw when I pulled back the curtain were all these personalities, all these factions, deep infighting, management chaos, all sorts of drama behind the scenes, and personalities that were so weird and extravagant and wild that it's hard it was hard originally for me to imagine all of that happening. But it's all there in Misfire. The NRA has been a black box for so long, but it's one of the most powerful and controversial organizations in America. And what we do here is using dozens of interviews and thousands of pages of secret documents, paint a picture of who's behind this organization, what they're like, and trace that to all of these allegations of corruption in the millions and millions of dollars that have happened over the last few years.